Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And away we go, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. We're waiting on Kerry Kittles, the former Net. We will get him on, hopefully, before the show does end. I did talk to Kerry right when the deal was going down. We were trying to get Kerry on to talk about with all the speculation that was going on through this. And I know Kerry going back to when he was an assistant coach following his NBA career at Princeton. He said he would come on, and then boom, about 25, 30 minutes later, the trade goes down. I sent him the tweet. He said, wow. And he said, talk to you coming up tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. So hopefully we'll get Kerry Kittles on before we do get out of here. We got 2 hours to play. And the reason why we're bringing on Kerry Kittles and why it's even more so important than what it would have been if we were just having him on with the speculation is now the trade is done. Like, I get it's not official, but the information is out there where the Brooklyn Nets are getting James Harden, and the Brooklyn Nets gave up a whole lot of picks. They gave up, some players too, Jared Allen, Torian Prince. They also gave up Kurucs and Caris LeVert, but the picks are the big things here, as the Nets gave to Houston a first-round pick in 2022, 2024, 2026, and they also gave away 4 pick swaps to the Rockets, the ability for the Rockets to have those pick swaps in 2021, 2023, 2025, and also in 2027. So Kerry Kittles is actually calling in, and we will get him on in about 30 seconds. He needed 30 extra seconds, but I can't wait to get his thoughts, because a lot of people right now, they are not reacting to this deal positively, and I think many people nationally are saying the Nets made a major mistake giving away all these first-round picks plus the pick swaps, and we're going to have to wait and see and find out if this trio will be able to gel, will be able to mesh, and we'll find out in the immediate future if this will result in a championship. So the big news today, James Harden going to Brooklyn in a blockbuster deal. And we also did see Caris LeVert get traded, and LeVert went from the Rockets to the Pacers, and you had Victor Oladipo go to the Houston Rockets. And now joining us on the hotline, former Net, did play his college ball at Villanova. That, of course, is Kerry Kittles. Kerry, been a while. Thanks for the time. How you been?
Oh, you're welcome, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. So I know we were texting throughout the day, but when you saw that note that James Harden was going to the Brooklyn Nets and you finally saw the details, what was that first reaction?
My first reaction was I was hoping they didn't get rid of Kyrie Irving, because we know he's been out right now indefinitely. So I was hoping they didn't get rid of him. But so, yeah, surprised to see that they actually pulled the trigger on that deal. We know from early on that the Nets were actually involved and interested in James Harden. And we know that, James had connections with guys on the team, having played with Jeff Green before and having played with Kevin Durant and being coached by Mike D'Antoni. So, yeah, I was surprised to see the Nets go in that direction. But, having thought about it the rest of the day, I think it's going to be a good move for the Nets. I think it's going to be, a high-powered offensive team. And I think with the uncertainty around Kyrie, I think it's nice to have someone who's capable of carrying the team for a long stretch of the game.
Are you optimistic that Kyrie Irving in New York will actually end up working out?
Yes, I am. I am. I think that Kyrie needs some time right now to deal with whatever he's dealing with, but I'm confident that you know, he'll work himself through it, and the team will be able to support him, and, you know, eventually they'll figure this thing out.
Now, we've heard a lot of speculation, but we don't know for sure why Kyrie Irving is not on the court. All we know is that it's personal reasons. Just what advice would you give him right now, knowing New York, knowing the New Jersey area, and then also having history here and being a former NBA player?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he started his career in Cleveland, and then up in, and then, you know, he was in Boston for a couple of years. But the New York media and the New York fans are very impatient fans, and so if you are dealing with personal issues and you need some time away, I think the lesson learned for Kyrie will be, if I talk to him, will be, how can you better communicate what you're going through? And I understand that, you know, sometimes you're going through certain things where you may not want to discuss the details of it, you know, publicly, but I think there's a better common ground to be able to put out a statement, or even have the Nets put out a statement on your behalf, just to keep everyone informed and let everyone know what's going on.
So if the Nets, I know they didn't, Kerry Kittles, but if they did trade Kyrie Irving today, a part of that trade for James Harden, would you have been disappointed?
Yeah, I would have been disappointed, because I saw, just even in this short sample, small sample size, I saw the connection that he has with Kevin Durant, and how they can play off of each other, and just how comfortable they are as teammates and as friends. And that's hard for superstars to do. We saw that before, right? When it worked magically when LeBron went down to Miami with, you know, his best friends, and it was a good stretch for those guys. But then you saw when Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City and went to Golden State, and he didn't necessarily have that chemistry and connection with those guys. But in this case, Kyrie works well with KD. They're good friends. You can tell they have a real genuine friendship. And for two superstar players to have a true, genuine friendship and respect for each other's games, I think that would have been tough for me to see, you know, not play out. And I think the Nets were smart to let this play out, you know, let Kyrie work through this issue, and then see how they do down the stretch.
I think nationally there's been a lot of negativity here around this trade, and I don't think there's a lot of concern with Durant. I don't think there's a lot of concern with James Harden. It's what type of Kyrie are you getting? You seem optimistic, like we've been talking about with Kerry Kittles. How do you think Kyrie Irving will gel with not only Kevin Durant, but also James Harden now, as you have the big three in Brooklyn?
You know, listen, it's going to be difficult for guys to make an adjustment for, you know, for other teammates who need the ball in their hands. I mean, look, you know, they had other guys on their team like Caris LeVert and, you know, Dinwiddie, he's out right now, who are, you know, ball dominant guys. They need to score off the dribble. And James Harden, as we know, he loves to score off the dribble. And it would definitely be an adjustment period they'll have to do, just similar to when LeBron was down playing with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. So, but I think overall, I mean, they have a lot of respect for each other, and, you know, they know that James Harden is, you know, as challenging as his style of play may be, you know, as a teammate, they understand that you know, how he can control and dominate games in big moments, and, you know, show up on the biggest stage and excel. And so I think, you know, they'll figure it out. Great players always figure it out.
Kerry Kittles here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. We know this is not the first time that the Nets have given up a lot of picks. Hey, they just got out of that whole messy situation when they tried to be aggressive going for it with the trade with Boston for Paul Pierce and also Kevin Garnett. When you saw the return, especially the picks and what they had to give up, the three firsts and then the four pick swaps potentially in 2021, 2023, 2025, and 2027, is there some skepticism? Is there some nervousness from you there? Even though you have three great players on the roster, you never know what this could turn out to be later on down the road.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, Nets fans definitely have that memory of, you know, the time when we give up all those picks. In this case, though, I'm not as concerned we're giving up those first-round picks, because these guys are in their prime, right? And, you know, you retain Kevin Durant and you retain James Harden, you know, in a couple of years and their deals are up. You won't need those picks. I mean, those guys are still phenomenal players. They're in their prime, and they can still, you know, as we've seen right now, Kevin Durant having missed, I don't know how many months that he missed, close, you know, 18 months or what have you, and he looks like he's, you know, never had any time off ever. So I'm not surprised that the Nets were able to give up those picks, I think that those guys are in their prime and it'll work itself out.
Do you think this group, with the way that they're currently constructed, because they don't really have a lot of help down low, defense could be a concern. Do you think, I know the expectation is going to be to go get to the finals and win it, but do you think this team can win a championship this year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, you figure the Nets still have three spots available, right? And, you know, we haven't discussed the disability exemption that they may have. They applied for Dinwiddie's absence. So, you know, you're going to fill in those spots maybe with a big or two and maybe another perimeter player. But I think even still they have the tools. I mean, you know, if they have to go small ball with Jeff Green at the five or Kevin Durant at the five for some short periods of time, I think they'll be able to do that. And, you know, they have some other good role players. Bruce Brown has been playing really well for them lately. He started the last four or five games and has shown that he's a, you know, good two-way player, both sides of the court. And, you know, they have TLC, who's a really another versatile wing. So the Nets have enough. I mean, if you're asking the question, do they have enough? They have enough now, and they'll be adding more guys to that roster in the next few weeks, and we'll see who they're able to get to help, you know, run out that roster.
The Kyrie Irving situation right now is so ambiguous. We don't know what's going on. I don't know what the players know. If he was your teammate right now, what type of communication would you try to attempt to give him?
Yeah, I think I said it earlier. I would love to see him put out a statement, just letting folks know what's going on with him. Is it a mental health issue? We don't know. Is it a really, you know, family matter? You know, it would be nice for his teammates to you know, take a little bit of slack off of Steve Nash so he doesn't have to keep answering questions and Kevin Durant coming into practice and after games answering questions about, you know, Kyrie's whereabouts. So I would say put out a statement. That's number one. And number two, you know, just figure out in the future if you're going to need time off, you know, what's the best way of doing it so that everyone is not, you know, compromised by his absence. And but look, for Steve Nash, it gives him a chance to continue to look at his roster, continue to play around with lineup changes. And, you know, once James Harden is in the lineup, I mean, you know, Kevin Durant goes to the bench. Now you have Harden, who's pretty much unstoppable right out there. I mean, no one can guard him. So, I mean, you have, you know, pretty much the two best scorers in the entire NBA on one team. That's incredible.
Is Steve Nash the right guy to keep this team together? I know that it's a player-driven league. I know that there's, you know, even KD and Kyrie made it clear they're basically the coaches in the offseason on the podcast they did together. Is Nash the right guy to keep these guys on the same page when they eventually hit that adversity?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, if you think about Steve Nash's demeanor throughout his playing career and what he's always been about, you know, he's always got along well with teammates. You know, he's always was a high IQ basketball player when he played. You know, he's a Hall of Famer, you know, two-time MVP. So, yeah, I think Steve Nash can communicate with those guys. And I think more so than anything, the players in the locker room need to have respect for the coach. And I think that every player in the locker room, including the superstar players, can respect what Steve Nash has always been about. And, you know, he's going to have to make some adjustments, learning how to communicate, you know, making, you know, do I call timeouts? No, let this thing, you know, play out. And he'll learn that over time. But I think he has a great mentor with Mike D'Antoni and a great relationship with him and Sean Marks as well. So I'm not worried about Steve Nash's leadership at all.
On the way out with Kerry Kittles, just to get a different side of this, the Sixers were in on James Harden as well. There was a lot of rumors about Ben Simmons. Not the first time that I'm sure Ben Simmons has probably had to deal with some rumors. What advice would you give to him, you know, having that player mentality and having all the experience that you have when you're floated out in a trade and it doesn't come to fruition?
You know, as a player, you pretty much can't worry about trades. If it happens, it happens. You know, you're not going to be able to prevent it anyway. So I would just, you know, urge Ben Simmons to put his head down and get to work. I think when you're looking at Ben Simmons' game, he's a young, talented player. He still has a lot of room of improvement. And, you know, if he continues to work on those things, his weaknesses, you know, that's all the Sixers are pretty much going to ask of him, is to improve in those areas and then see how he plays in the postseason. I mean, that's always been the thing is, you know, can the Sixers move on and get to the conference finals? I mean, they have some talented players on that team, but we'll see if they get to the conference finals.
Who do you think is the best team in the Eastern Conference right now?
I mean, until someone knocks off Miami, I would say Miami still has it. I think, you know, listen, there's a lot of great teams in the East. I think the East now is, you know, pretty comparable to the West when you look at four or five legitimate teams that can easily come out of the East and win a championship. I mean, Boston has some really talented young players. They're still missing a piece or two, I think, and definitely with Kemba Walker's injury, we'll see how he does. But, you know, I think Milwaukee got better with the addition of with Jrue Holiday. The Nets definitely now with Harden, they are a legitimate team with the way they score. That's going to be a tough out for anybody in the East. So those teams are all going to be battling out. We'll see how it plays out. Obviously, COVID is going to play a role in this whole thing. If you know, sitting out games or having to go to protocol like Durant just did, that's going to impact some wins and losses. But overall, I think those are the top teams in the East.
Last thing I'll ask you, Kerry Kittles. I know we talked about the picks that the Nets had to give up. Did it surprise you that they had to give up the three first-round picks and the right to four first-round draft swaps, the pick swaps in those years? Did it surprise you with how the Harden situation got so ugly last night with what he said after the game that they still had to give up that much to get James?
Yeah, you're going to give up a lot to get a superstar player, right? I think that's a given. And it's unfortunate, you know, to give up those picks. But I think, you know, if you're trying to win now and, you know, you have a nucleus with young, you know, superstar talent and you know that you need one or two more players to get you over that hump and you have a chance to do that, you don't pass on that. And I think that's the key is the Nets right now are just wagering. We're not going to pass an opportunity to make it to the NBA Finals and perhaps have a chance to win it all. So you give up those picks. You still have superstars that are in their prime, right? They're early 30s. You know, I think they still have a long way to go in their careers before they start hitting that decline. So, you know, I like the trade. I think James Harden will work out well. He will make the adjustments. And I can tell you right now, if you're a team in the East, you are concerned about the Nets. I can guarantee you that.
Kerry Kittles, good to hear your voice. Thanks so much. Be well.
Exactly. Appreciate it. No problem.
There's Kerry Kittles. Join us for a few minutes on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I understand liking the trade if you're in the Nets thinking. I totally get that. If you have a Nets background, why you like the trade because of the potential in the now of having Harden, Kyrie, and Durant and what that could turn out to be. If the Nets win the championship, no Nets fan is going to care about these picks down the road if they win a championship. But if you don't win a championship, then it's, oh my goodness gracious, here's the feeling again of we did this again, even though it's a different situation because, hey, the state of where KD and Harden are at right now are much better than in the state that when they got Paul Pierce and Garnett, but it'd be like, we finally got out of that mess, now we're back in it. So, like I've been saying the whole show, in the moment, in the now, this will not be received positively by the Nets, you know, by people looking at this when talking about the Nets. The Rockets, quote-unquote, won this trade. We won't really know, though, how the Nets fared in this deal until we find out in the next year or two if they're able to win a championship. And I understand, you know, him being a player, him being associated, you know, with the Nets, he is going to believe in Kyrie. I was expecting him to say, yeah, I'm optimistic about Kyrie. I don't see how anyone could be optimistic in Kyrie right now, if we're being honest. I don't. Because I don't know where his head's at. And maybe the team knows something, maybe the players know something, but it seems like the team and the players, other than Kyrie, that Kyrie has left the team and the players in the dark. Will he come back? I'm going to say yes. Is he back next week? I don't know. I'll say yes, but I don't know. And when he does come back, how plugged in is he going to be? How is he going to be willing to make this work with James Harden? I don't think I'll have an issue with Kevin Durant. I think the issue will be with James Harden potentially. And regardless if you have an issue or not with someone else being brought in, and I would love to talk to Kevin Durant, right? I'd love to know what Kevin Durant burner he's utilizing right now because I want to know his real thoughts on Kyrie Irving too. Is he frustrated with Kyrie or is it let Kyrie do what he has to do when he comes on back? We're going to be a team to be a force to be reckoned with. I would just love to know if we could find out the Durant burner. One of 9,687. What is the burner that Durant is using right now? And is he trashing people for trashing the trade or is he trashing people or trashing Kyrie Irving? That's what I would like to know. But Kyrie, personally, I can't trust him. We've seen so many signs throughout the years. And the final part, I thought his answer, Carey's answer on who's the best team in the East, Miami. Miami's 4-5 right now. I get it. Until someone takes you down the postseason. Miami was a surprise team last year. I thought Miami would be good this year. They still can be very good. It's very early in the season. I did not think Miami was going to be viewed when we got into the playoffs this year as a title contender. I think there are four title contenders in the Eastern Conference. And those four title contenders, and really it's more so three, and I still think the two best teams in the East are the Bucks and also the Nets. But in the conversation also you have the Celtics and you have the Sixers. One of those four teams are going to get to the finals. If you made me pick between two, I would say it's the Bucks and the Nets are the preeminent teams in the East. But the Nets, they got a lot of questions that they got to answer. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Figueroa Auto Parts on the Zach Gelb Show for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I was giving this a thought because now we were in this era before today where we didn't have super teams. There wasn't a super team present in the NBA, and that's clearly changed, assuming Kyrie comes back. Even if you don't have great conviction in the Nets, Durant, Harden, Kyrie classifies as a super team. Now, you could win without a super team. We saw Toronto win a championship. Yes, Golden State super team did get injured. We then saw this past season in different circumstances, but everyone was playing under the same rules. LeBron James didn't have a super team. They had a dynamic duo. They didn't have a super team. That was not a great supporting cast around LeBron James. The dynamic duo of Anthony Davis and LeBron James was clearly more than enough to win a championship. And going into this year, it was a dynamic duo league. Boston, you have Jason Tatum. I know Kemba Walker isn't healthy right now. Philly, Embiid, Ben Simmons, Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I guess you still say Chris Middleton over Drew Holiday. You look at the Nets, it was KD and Kyrie. With Miami, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler. If you look in the Western Conference, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert with the Jazz. When you get into the Portland Trail Blazers, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum. Unfortunately, the Warriors lost Klay Thompson in the offseason because of injury, so you don't have Stephen Clay. Mavericks. Now they got back Kristaps Porzingis, so you add him to their best player and Luka Doncic. Nuggets. I know that they are 5-6 to start out the season, and they just lost to the Nets last night. But the Nuggets, you got Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Pelicans. Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram. So you get the point. Dynamic duos. That's where we're at right now in the NBA. You can even go Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton with added in CP3 too, but that's not a super team. So we were in a void of not having a super team. And eventually we knew that two was going to grow into three. And then one of these teams, we didn't know who the player was going to be. We didn't know what free agent was eventually going to sign. But eventually, whether it was this year, next year, or the year after that, a super team was going to blossom. I'm curious what the NBA fan thinks today. Not the Net fan, not the Rocket fan. I am curious what the NBA fan thinks today. Is an NBA fan excited that the super team is back? Because the super team sometimes got a lot of hate. It also brought a lot of excitement. Think about how many times we talked about LeBron, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade in Miami. And what made that fun is they weren't a team that was guaranteed to be champions. Yeah, they got to the championship every single year. They got to the finals up against the Mavericks, they lost. They got to the finals up against the Oklahoma City Thunder, they won. Then they split with the Spurs. You know, you even go back to Boston. I know it's a little bit different, but when they formed Paul Pierce and he got in Boston, Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, they won a championship. That super team didn't last as long as what some people thought. They got to another finals and they lost. Then when Golden State started to happen, I think that's when some got tired of the super team. Not all. I watched Golden State. I was still in awe of what they were able to do in a basketball court. People, though, got annoyed with that super team. Why? Because you felt as if no one else had a chance to win a championship. Look how great LeBron James was and how he still is. LeBron James didn't have a shot to take down the Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant. Now, he came back from down 3-1 when they didn't have Kevin Durant. Look how tough it was for LeBron to get that championship. Then they add getting Kevin Durant, and you had a team that was already great in Steph, in Klay, in Andre Iguodala, in Draymond Green. And you add the second best player, a top three player in the sport, in Kevin Durant. You went from an already all-time great team to a team that was unbeatable. Here is why I don't think the NBA fan, even though this trade has not been met with a lot of positive reviews from the Brooklyn side of thing, and many people are pointing at Brooklyn saying, oh, it's going to be a disaster. Oh, it's not going to work. Because people aren't convinced in Brooklyn. Like when people said, oh, the Heat weren't going to win a championship, you were hating. When people said the Golden State Warriors, oh, yeah, there's a chance they lose, you were hating. In this case with the Nets, you may be hating. You could give me, though, a very valid argument why the Nets aren't going to get to the finals this year. You can. It is not a lock. It wasn't as if it was a lock when Miami was there that you knew they were getting to the finals. Or when Golden State was there, you knew they were winning the championship. So this super team, even with it having a lot of potential, you know what potential means? It means you haven't done it yet. So there is potential here. I don't think there is a strong conviction by a lot of people that this is necessarily going to work. And you know why that conviction isn't there? It has nothing to do with Kevin Durant. And I know James Harden is out of shape right now. It doesn't show up in the big postseason moments. It really doesn't have anything to do with James Harden. It is all centered around Kyrie Irving. People don't know what to expect from Kyrie Irving anymore. Kyrie Irving has had such a fall from grace in the public perception about him since he hit that game-winning shot to win the Cavs the final. And he hit that big shot to win the finals. He went from that moment where you look at that comeback, the block by James, the 3-1 comeback, the big shot by Kyrie, from being such a likable player where now people don't like him. And you saw him go to Boston. You saw that was self-inflicted. It blew up in his face. Then he wanted out. Now he goes to Brooklyn. Now we don't know where he is. Now we don't know when he's going to return. And the biggest question mark with this trade, sure, you maybe could question things about Durant and you could question things about Harden. But for me, no doubt about it, the biggest thing to question is Kyrie Irving. And the questions are very simple. I've been saying them throughout the show. When does Kyrie come back? And what type of Kyrie are you getting when he does return? Does he play nice? Does he be a pain in the rear end? Does he get jealous of James Harden? Or does he tease you a little bit, play nice for a while, and then the thing just crashes and burns down? The negativity around this deal, yes, you could tell me, oh, the Nets gave up so many pick swaps. The Nets gave up so many first-round picks. What are they doing again? Uh-oh, here they go again. If there was conviction that the Nets would win the title, people would be saying what? Oh, yeah, it's 100% worth it. You're setting yourself up for championships now and for the foreseeable future. People just don't have conviction that this is definitely going to work. Now, doesn't mean that it won't work, but that lack of conviction is why I think so many people are down on the trade. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. Mike in Texas, you're next up on the show. Go ahead, Mike.
Evening, bud. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. What do you got for me?
Man, love the show. Maybe first time or second time caller. Been listening for a while. Man, do you know what smells worse than rotting flesh? Do you know what the worst smell in the world is? Like, it's fear. And in year 19, LeBron James is so good that Kevin Durant and James Harden are taking another try at him. It's funny how the West was too strong, and that's why LeBron stayed in the East. But now LeBron is in the West. And everybody's going to the East. This will not only be a dumpster fire, excuse me. This will be a landfill fire. We are talking about the most ball-dominant players in the league in James Harden and Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving, excuse me, we are talking about the most non-leader that has ever been as talented as he is in Kevin Durant. We are talking about a man who could not win with James Harden and Russell Westbrook, had to go to the greatest team of all time just to win a championship to beat LeBron and a bunch of bums. Now, the guy who thinks the earth is flat, who burns sage in the gym, who literally doesn't even text his teammates or tell his coach that he's leaving, is going to work well with the other two non-leaders? Let me tell you something. If you can't be successful with Chris Paul as your point guard and you're supposed to be as good as James Harden is, you're not on that level. If you can't win and you blow a 3-1 lead to a team and then you turn around and join that team, your two rings with that team are worth less than Dirk Nowitzki's one ring. In year 19, we have 800,000 miles on our tires. We have switched positions to point guard, and we are still the most feared, the most dominant, and the best player on the planet 2 decades later. I was in grade school when this started. My dude is still the best, and everyone else knows it, and everyone else is scattering to try and hold some form of glory, some form of relevance in the era of the king. And it's going to end up worse than any other project they have tried to date. If they do not win the championship this year, which you heard it here, Michael Brennan, Abilene, Texas, 2021, they will not win the championship. When that doesn't happen, if Kyrie is even still on the team, if he's off on Mars or wherever he escapes to or under the ocean, wherever he hides, if he's even still on the team and they somehow make it through Jimmy Butler, who I guarantee you is smiling and licking his lips right now, please join together so that when I destroy you and rip your heart out of your chest, you have no excuse and it makes such an impact on you that we don't ever hear from you again, Kyrie Irving. Go ahead and quit basketball. This is not for you. James Harden, experiment number 4. You are not going to win. Kevin Durant, experiment number whatever. Guess what? You're still number 2. You'll always be number 2 as long as the king is still playing. And guess what? When he leaves, we'll really see the difference between the greatest player of all time and everybody else, just a blip on his radar. Thank you for taking my call.
Wait, I have one follow-up.
Yes, sir.
Just my condolences to your Buckeyes the other night.
My goodness gracious. Hey, man, that was, I'll take it. We got there, and then, you know,
that was an ass whooping.
Completion percentage, the next Randy Moss, Najee Harris. I mean, it probably could have been a little bit worse. I'll take it. We're on to 2021.
Thanks so much, Mike. Is Mike back? Is that his second entry call of the year? You know what? Mike should really enter the Jim Rome smack off. I would imagine he's probably has entered this. Didn't that seem like a smack-off type of call?
Had the same exact flair to it, didn't it?
Right? Very smack-off-like.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So let's rewind. Last night, this was James Harden. You knew that something, we all knew that this situation was going to eventually end. But then you thought, all right, this process is going to be expedited. I did not think by today we would have had a trade and knew that James Harden was going to the Brooklyn Nets. But this was James Harden after the game last night.
Which is not good enough. Obviously, chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games. You know, I love this city. I literally, you know, have done everything that I can. You know, I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah.
Right there, you knew. All right. Probably his last game with the Rockets. He can't go back into that locker room. Then today, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins and basically John Wall torched him. And the next thing you know, boom, you got 9,000 picks going to the Rockets. 4-team trade, blockbuster deal, James Harden going to the Nets. So, back in November when these rumors started to emerge that Harden wanted to go to the Nets, we had on Hall of Famer Rick Barry. And I think it's safe to say Rick Barry was not a fan of the concept of the Nets trading for James Harden and didn't think it would work. This is Rick Barry talking about those doubts.
of it. There is, Zach, there's no fit there. You can't bring him in there and expect that team to be a great basketball team unless he had was reborn again. He's even going backward where his coach who let him turn them loose and everything, right, is going to be there?
Yeah, D'Antoni.
Thank you. I mean, so, wow. And if that happened, it'd be really interesting to see how it played out. And the only way it would play out is that Harden has to just totally change the way that he plays the game in order for it to work.
And that was when we knew Kyrie Irving was at least going to show up to play. Now we don't even know when that's going to happen next. And there were already questions about Kyrie clearly entering the season. Let's hear one more from Rick Barry.
That might be the Elm Street nightmare. I mean, seriously, can you honestly see those three guys playing together and being happy with the way that Harden dominates the ball?
Those tweets will either work out one of two ways. One, Rick Barry will look like a genius. Oh, he called it. He called it in November before the trade even happened. Or the Nets with a championship, and then I'll get trolled. And knowing Rick Barry, he'll probably be fishing somewhere in Alaska and won't even care. So this deal is not official yet. So the Nets have to kind of be careful on how they comment about it. Here's the best one from Steve Nash pregame before the Nets were playing in New York up against the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Steve Nash says no matter how many superstars they have, the players have to be selfless and team-oriented.
Basketball is about playing together and being the best you can be. So no matter who you are, it's about finding that connectivity and balance within a team and trying to be greater than the sum of your parts. So that doesn't change no matter what your team looks like, and that's definitely a goal and a threat of our team from day one.
Let's be real. Steve Nash. He's there. Durant wanted him. Relationship going back to Golden State. He's well-respected. He can't control what goes on between Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. Either all three will buy in, and the minute one doesn't buy in, we'll see how ugly this thing does get. Or maybe all three buy in. Maybe one doesn't, and they're able to pick up that one person and find a way to get him just into the playoffs. They'll be in the postseason. We know that. And once you're in the postseason, you can taste the championship, and maybe that's what makes people buy in. So WFAN in New York, they have a Nets super fan on their afternoon show, Cardin and Roberts, Evan Roberts. This was Evan's live reaction to this trade. He was not happy.
So he's got it.
Oh, boy.
The Nets got James Harden. Breaking news, everybody.
Oh!
My first reaction is shock, awe, and I'm pissed off. That's my first reaction.
That's your
you
first
wanna
one?
You want to capture it? Want to take a picture? That's my first reaction. I'm ticked off.
They did get something. They get James Harden.
Great.
Dribble, 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 dribble. Fat, fat, fat. Dribble, dribble, dribble. No defense, no defense, no defense. Shoot. Oh, a foul's called. He's going to the line.
My favorite part of that. Dribble, dribble, dribble. Fat, fat, fat. That's amazing. Now, I talked to Evan today in between breaks. I felt as if I was a psychiatrist. Because he was on the air freaking out, then off the air. He was just trying to calm down. It looked like he was about to cry. If I would have told him in 2016 his basketball team would end up getting Durant, Harden, and Kyrie, he wouldn't even know what to do with himself. He'd be excited. But now with how things have become here and where Kyrie is perceived and also James Harden not being in shape and wondering how things will play on out and fit together, there's clearly some concern. And I talked to two Nets fans, Evan, and then also our former producer, my former producer, Mikey B. Mikey B wasn't happy as well because of all the picks. All right, talking about not happy, let's get to the Bears organization. If you're a Bears fan, Lee, you're annoyed. So you knew Matt Nagy was coming back. You knew Ryan Pace was coming back. I thought both should have been fired. Here is the owner of the Bears, George McCaskey, says he was very proud. I can't even get through the slug line here. He was very proud of how Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy bounced back to make the playoffs at 8-8.
Ryan and Matt are men of character. They are both, like Ted, outstanding leaders. I've been most impressed with how well they collaborate. I was impressed with both of them this past season, especially during the six-game losing streak. The fact that our players never gave up is a tribute to the players. It is also indicative of the type of players that Ryan acquires and to the players' regard for Matt as their head coach.
That's a lot of garbage right there. Before I react, let's hear Ryan Pace also talking about how he's proud of how the players bounce back.
Is 8-8 good enough? No.
Is losing in the first round of the playoffs good enough? No. But what I appreciate is that we fought, we stuck together, and we start off 5-1. We go through those tough six games. We win three out of our final four regular season games. And I do think that speaks to the culture that we have. And I think it speaks to our players and their grit. And I'm proud of that.
Oh, yeah, we have a great culture with the Bears. Great culture. They're celebrating 8-8. And if you count the playoff loss, and I'm not great at math, but you're 8-9. That's what you're celebrating? Do you know how tough it is to start off the year 5-1 and only have 8 wins when your season's over? They lost 6 in a row, but I'm proud about how the players fought and how our locker room stayed together. You were going up against, to end out the season, the Texans, the Vikings, and the Jaguars. All three of those teams stink. And then when you actually played a good team in Green Bay, final week of the season, if you win, you're in, you get blown out. You couldn't even make the game competitive. Oh, that's garbage from George McCaskey and Ryan Pace. Oh, let's just hand out the participation trophies. Yay, everyone, we went 8-8. That organization, they're losers. That's what they are. That organization is a losing organization. And that those responses, I didn't expect anything else. But they basically accept losing, and they try to justify, oh, well, we won 3 out of our last 4 games of the regular season against 3 garbage teams, so I'm proud of our players. Stop it. Ryan Pace should be gone. Matt Nagy should be gone. But guess what? The Bears don't have a damn clue what they're doing. Their offense stinks. They drafted Trubisky when they should have drafted Deshaun Watson. They're probably going to bring back Trubisky this year. The defense will play fine next year, and guess what's going to happen? The Bears won't make the playoffs next year. Their offense is going to stink, and they're going to celebrate making the playoffs this year? That is embarrassing. You didn't even really get in. You backed your way in because the Cardinals couldn't beat John Wolford. You backed your way in. But let's pop champagne and celebrate being 8-8 going to the postseason when we beat Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville. 3 bottom 6 defenses.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.